May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 832. The men that fear the Lord in every state are blessed. The Lord will grant whate'er they want. Their souls shall dwell at rest. 832.
Thank you. us read the Word of God, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. But if not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out of the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe up against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more terrible in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit, and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbour? Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbour to him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may grant us a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, come before thee now. O do grant us to feel access to thee in prayer, the great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come pleading his holy, precious name, that name that thou, the Father, loves to hear thy children plead. We know no other way of approach, Lord, and oh, we would seek no other blood nor name for our salvation to cleanse and make us right for eternity. Hide our shame, to blot out our sin. We humbly hope we've known these great favours. We come before thee now and come in prayer, and we pray we may come together. Oh, there may be many here now in exercise of prayer. We may come together to the footstool of mercy at the throne of grace. Oh, do give us prayer, Lord, indicted in us. And oh, may we feel that wonderful favour in approaching thee, the favour of faith in exercise. And as we've been singing, Lord, acknowledging all thy people, the men that fear the Lord. Oh, Lord, how we know, and as we've read, one thing is needful. Oh, the one thing in the things of the Spirit, the grace of the Spirit, grace is given, grace, saving grace. But oh, thyself, Lord. Oh, thou art the God of all grace, thee the Saviour. Oh, where we need thee. Oh, we pray we may all feel it, each feel it. And knoweth how each soul that's within these walls now is. And knoweth as we've heard and felt sweet unity with our friend praying before the service. Lord, oh, we do beg that if any have come up here today in the darkness of nature, it may be thy appointed day according to thy will to deal with them, to begin thy work in them. Oh, may we in love and faithfulness be able to sound the alarm regarding how we are. Oh, may we each examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. Oh, how solemn if we're not in the faith. Oh, how solemn and serious is our case if we're still in the darkness of nature. And oh, how solemn and serious is our case if we've been attending the means of grace many, many years but do not know thy grace. Oh, how we know it is possible for a person to live all their lives attending the means of grace and not be among those that fear the Lord. Truly fear thee, Lord. And oh, we know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Lord, as we have been singing in this way, we felt such confirming to what we have upon our spirit to bring before the friends today. Them knoweth how thou didst settle it upon our spirit yesterday afternoon. And Lord, oh, thou knoweth we come thus depending upon thee, that thou would so give every word, Lord. May the Holy Spirit be in every word. Lord, that we may hear this day prove with the wonderful prophet of thy love and grace that thou art here. Oh, may many hear me noise that thou, the Lord, that he is in the house, he was in the house. Oh, do so come, Lord, and enter into us each, Lord, enter thyself and cast out sin. Oh, may we be in the Spirit, may the old man be subdued. We come, Lord, solemnly confessing our sins. All our sin and folly, Lord, is a great grief to us. Oh, we trust by thy grace, we feel it, Lord, and would solemnly confess it all. And always we are still troubled with sins of thought, word and deed. And Lord, we beg of thee, thus thou wilt look in mercy upon us, Lord, and each who feel it, fear the solemnity of their cases, thou wilt look in mercy upon them each. And as we have begun to pray and show concern, we hope as we feel it within, concerning any that are dead in sin, oh, may it be thy purpose to so show them what they are. Show them what they are themselves as sinners. Show them thyself, the holy, holy, holy God. Oh, bring poor sinners into trembling before thee. We know there was a great trembling as Lord, thou didst give the law on Sinai. The mountain was on fire and the people did tremble and shake. Lord, thou knowest, Lord, we seek this. Thou mightest so work in the hearts of men and women, young people, Lord. Oh, even children, Lord, if it be thy will, so to work in very early days in their lives. Lord, thou knowest how we felt it recently in talking to a dear man who lives at Harpenden now. And Lord, thou knowest how the dear man gave testimony, speaking of how, of his love to thy dear servant, our late dear friend and uncle, Mr. Green, and speaking, Lord, of how he was dealt with when he was 9 years old. The Lord began in him when he was 9 years old. Lord, there are young people here. Oh, as they have begun in them, may they, as they listen to what we pray, Lord, speak. Oh, Lord, this is a burden, Lord, today to come to speak in love and faithfulness to young and old alike, middle aged too. Oh, Lord, oh, may we each examine ourselves. Oh, as they have begun in us, Lord, begun to teach us. We know there had to be a day, appointed day, when each one of the dear young people, dear children, went to school for the first time to begin to be taught in the beginning of their school life. Oh Lord, that was a very important day for them. The Lord who knoweth we do feel it. What is a more important, much more important day? Oh, if it be thy will to quicken souls into newness of life and bring them to be made to become concerned about their never dying souls. Lord, oh, we beg the witness of this may many times be even here in Swavesey Chapel. Thy having begun, thy beginning and having begun in precious souls. And Lord, there are older ones here, Lord, we believe who can reflect back to when thou didst first begin with them. How are they now, dear Lord? May they ask this question personally, privately, maybe in their cases being feelingly solemn. Oh, Lord, wanting to know and be confirmed in their beginnings. The Lord, in the things of thy favour to them as thou hast led them on, thou knowest each one. Oh, we are in exercise, thou hast made us, brought us into it, caused us to be in it in this way for the souls of the dear friends here. The Lord, how solemn it is, the reality of it. We each possess a never-dying soul. And Lord, the reality of that known and felt, it will be of great concern and consideration, Lord, for we must at death enter into eternity. And we know, like as we see in the figure of trees being fallen, where the tree falleth, so it shall lie. And where we shall be in eternity, we shall be there forever and ever. Either in that place that we all deserve, to be cast away there, or saved by grace and welcomed down to heaven. Lord, there now is these great things, great, rightly important matters, Lord. We pray we may be rightly, carefully exercised in them today and to come to that wonderful favour reality for thy dear people. Oh, there's mercy for sinners. The vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Lord, to know thee, Lord, we have knoweth have been pondering, thinking of how we used to sing in assembly when in the boys' school at Stopfold. Oh, Jesus, good above all other. But Lord, we didn't really know what we were singing then. And oh, there now is dear Newton's hymn, one there is above all other. Oh, Lord, well deserves the name of friend. Oh, Lord, thou knowest thy words to Martha, one thing is needful. Oh, Lord, do help us thus as we seek to so be led by the Spirit to preach to the dear friends here who we love in thy name. Everyone fears his insufficiency, Lord. Now we do feel weakness, even, Lord, in these days as we are coming into the days more, when they've just weakened our strength in the way. But oh, may we be strong in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God if thou grantest us to feel the favour of the Spirit and the favour of being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We beg for this. Oh, in the Spirit we shall testify what we know, the wonderful grace and favour of God, the love of God, the love of Christ. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners. Lord, do help us. Help one to preach. You know, if we need much, much help, all together we need help, Lord, in every way. But Lord, oh, we do have in our heart love for souls. And Lord, there were blessed souls here today. You would so in mercy speak to them. Oh Lord, hast thou a purpose to speak to one and another whom thou hast blessed, that they must follow thee. You know how we've read those things of those other disciples being added. And we know in the previous chapter it is relating to them more particularly. And oh, yeah, there were excuses made for that which was required of thee, of their immediate following thee. Let me first go and bury my father. Let the dead bury the dead. Go there and preach the kingdom of God. Is there one here that must preach the kingdom of God? Must preach the word. Thou knowest, Lord. Thou knowest that soul. Thou knowest everything regarding that one. He whom thou hast appointed for the ministry. Oh, Lord, how it was with us. We were so unwilling. We were so rebellious. Maybe one here is that thou must send him. He must go. And Lord, thou knowest regarding following thee in thy ways. Thou knowest, Lord. Thou knowest how it is with one and another. Oh, they're rebellious. They're unwilling. They will not submit. Thou knowest everything in this respect. But, oh Lord, to be made willing. My people shall be made willing in the day of my power. God, thy people acknowledge it. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power, Lord. We look for it. We wait upon thee for it. We know it will be to thy glory. And so we seek it, desiring it. The exercise is in us for it. And we wait upon thee for it, Lord. We wait for thy appearing, Lord. The little church here still now waits. They have waited and seen and witnessed these favours. And they are still waiting upon thee for more, Lord. We're thankful for present, past and present mercies and favours and how thou hast appeared. But we are jealous for more with godly jealousy. For thy glory, for thy people's glory, thy people's good and thy glory, Lord. Thy people favoured and thou glorified. All the glory shall be thine, Lord. Hear us, for Lord, friends that we know we are in affliction. We think of one another particularly. We've had to deal with regarding them and praying for them day by day. And you know, it's those that are in affliction and in the tribulation and weakness, illness. We remember all our friends and pray for them. And those who are in sorrow, Lord, having recently lost loved ones. And Lord, thou knowest us, we think of all thy people, and thy dear servants, each of them on the walls of Zion. Thou knowest in our own cause, they haven't got a minister this morning. And our deacon has decided not to have a service this afternoon, which has greatly grieved me and my wife. Lord, my dear one, do be with her this day. Thou knowest how we did wonder. She might have to come with me because the car wouldn't go in gear. But then it did go in gear. And we was able to get here. Be with her, Lord, bless her, and reading on her own in the hours, Lord, of afternoon and evening. Oh, be with her, Lord. And Lord, oh, thou knowest we pray that we'll be with all thy servants thy slaving and taking us, Lord, we hope, safely to Southery this afternoon, but now, Lord, here this morning. Thou knowest all our concerns about our country and many, many things. We cast it all upon thee, Lord. But, oh, Lord, do come now and favour us here. And favour us, Lord, that we may have true worship of thee, our great, our good and gracious God. Oh, there might be much in the singing of thy praises, in the feeling of the hearts of precious souls, the welling up of to thee, the love they have to thee, and because of the power of thy love that's affected them and made them desire to make returns of love again. So help us, Lord. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 256. In vain men talk of living faith, when all their works exhibit death, when they indulge some sinful view in all they say and all they do. 256.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the chapter we read. That's Luke chapter 10, and the last verse, the 42nd verse. Luke chapter 10, the 42nd verse. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Friends, it's simply really upon my mind, one thing is needful. Really, we could say what we've had in the two hymns is the very essence of it, really. Oh, God's people being given, and I believe they're given this at the new birth, the fear of the Lord. The Word of God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy is understanding. Do you have the fear of the Lord? Fear of the Lord, like the grace of faith, is in a similar way. It works by love. The love of God will be felt, and you will not want to grieve your Lord. You will not want to grieve God with your sinner. But of course, in the highest sense, Jesus is the one thing needful. Like I think I made mention to you, my remembrance of singing hymns in the assembly at school when I was a little boy, when I was a young boy, though I did not really have any understanding of those things that were sung, but I can so remember them. You know the way, I think I quoted when I was with you last, love to the loveless shown. That's one of the themes. Another theme is Jesus good above all other. Oh, Jesus good above all other. I didn't know it now then, but I hope I know it now. One thing, when the Lord was speaking this to Martha, he was actually saying, Mary's chosen that good part of wanting to be in communion with Christ, wanting to be at the Lord's feet. And one, it's that the Lord is the most precious one. Mary knew that. Mary had chosen, by grace she had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her, once in him forever. Friends, do you feel this? Is this what you are concerned in this way? Has God made you to know and know it and acknowledge it, like we've been singing, the fear of the Lord, and how it is the beginning of wisdom? And this fear that works by love, love to Christ. Oh, is Jesus Christ the one thing needful? I was pondering also a word yesterday, as in the word we find much of expression about many things. And of course, every one of us have to do with many, many things in our lives. And many, many experiences we will have to know in our long, if we live a long life or even shorter lives, many things we have to do with. And many things that will be, as it were, felt to be your mind and will naturally, many people have naturally felt everything's against them. You can feel that spiritually. But oh, thinking of all the things of life and the things of people's illnesses and afflictions and troubles, the many things. But the apostle says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. But listen, more than conquerors how? Through him that loved us. Do you know this? Do you know the love of Christ? Oh, is he so precious to you because you've experienced the love of Christ? Do you know the solemn things of the teachings of the Spirit, bringing you to know what you are and where you are and what great need you are in of salvation? One thing is needful, friends. I want to trace out with you, and dear friend, your dear deacon has truly been in the Spirit to be led to choose those hymns, because really, as in Proverbs it said, I was reading in Proverbs early this morning that reference that we've just seen at the top of the hymn. You know the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the holy is understanding. And I think of it in a way, you know, I might have mentioned it to you before, but many years ago, the late Mr. Stanley Dells was preaching at our chapel, and his text was, it was an anniversary service, his text was, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth it not. You know, if you consider that, as we consider that, this wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of it. It is. And so I want to dwell upon this, friends, this morning here. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. I would rightly, carefully acknowledge with all you dear young people and to all of you, friends, there are many things that are very important to us, needful for us, and needful that we should be attending to. And I think of the young people at school and children at school, and then older ones and going up in the higher classes, and also in the way that some are given to have opportunity for further education and to learn and to, in it really, to have naturally a desire and concern to have a useful purpose in life, and to so be able by that you are given to learn and become competent in the right way. They are important, they are needful things, they are good things. And I know there are some occupations which we would desire our dear ones to not go into. Are you considering that? Where there are some things are not really good, not really wholesome, because there's much in them which is leading to sin and bad things and bad practices and ways of living. But oh, there's the good occupations which are wholesome, good and needful, and to be in a willingness to help people is a good line and side of things. Where it is, I think of nursing and that kind of occupation and teaching, the many things there are, and ways there are, but oh, that the Lord would lead you in the right way. You know what it says in Psalm 107 regarding God's people, when he led them forth by the right way. And what was it for? That they might go to a city of habitation. That didn't mean just a city and place here in time. It meant eternity and in heaven at last. By the grace of God, the saving grace of God, he led them. Are you concerned that God is leading you? To know God is leading you? Not just making decisions yourself. Not just thinking, well, I'm going to do this. This is my ambition. It's right to have a good ambition. It's right to have a good purpose. But oh, to be in the fear of the Lord, that the Lord will lead you, show you the way, show you what is his will for you. But oh, more than that, what about your soul? Oh, to be first concerned for their soul. You know the words of the prophet, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we know it's in several places, the same theme in the word. And here it says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him Return unto the Lord and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are you concerned about your never-knowing soul? For it's in this way very important, friends, because we do not know how long we will live. And we know the word of God is clear: after death, the judgment. And so is it your concern, first concern? The one thing needful really is to be favoured to know that God loves us. You know, God set his love upon a number which no man can number before the world. You know what we've read too. Even those dear disciples who became ministers, and how they returned and said to the Lord that the devils and the spirits are subject to them. The Lord said, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. See, that's the most important. To know God loves us. To know that to seek to know that he chose us before the world. To seek to know that we are his people. That he has set his eternal love upon us. And he has a wonderful purpose to save us from our sins, from sin and death and hell, and to have us with himself in heaven forever. Oh, one thing is needful. Really, it is this, friends, to know that God loves us, and to know that Jesus Christ has come and saved us. Oh, do you know this? Are you concerned about it? One thing is needful, you see, the concern for this, the need to know. The need to be prepared for that great day. You will perhaps say, well, it was these in the house at Bethany, Martha and Mary, and the Lord had gone into that house, and we know Lazarus, it was those where Lazarus lived, you know. Oh, you may say, well, why is the minister bringing all this out from this? Because one thing is needful, friends. You need salvation. Do you really know it and feel it? You need the Lord to, in great love and mercy, favour you, to give you to know that he loves you, and then he's given his dear son for you, and his dear beloved son, that is God the Father's beloved son, has given his own life a ransom for you, even more and more solemn and yet more holy and wonderful and blessed, that God the Father has punished for you, his dear son, so that you are blessed with salvation through and by divine substitution, that Jesus took all your transgressions and made them his own. This is what you need to know. This is what we each need to know. This is the one thing needful. Friends, it is, it really is the one thing needful. For death will come, we know not how soon. You know, death will come, and after death, the judgment. And as I said in prayer, the tree falleth, so it shall lie. If we go out of time by death, unprepared by God, we shall be cast into hell. Oh, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Salvation is needful. The knowledge of salvation through Jesus the Lamb is needful. Most needful. One of the hymns says, as relating to our passing from time into eternity, one of the hymn writers says, in death thou wilt most needful be, when I yield up my soul to thee. You know, a person who dies out of Christ has no ability to yield up his soul to Christ, and Christ will not accept that person. It's that they know and are blessed with to know here in time that makes them ready to die, ready to pass the river, ready for the judgment day. Oh, only God's grace can make us ready. Oh, be ye ready also. How solemn those words are. The Son of Man cometh at an hour that ye think not. But as the whole verse says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know, this choice is made by grace. God has to quicken us first into life. He quickens and makes alive all those that he set his love upon. So this is the consideration, friends, for you and for me in regarding how we stand. Am I quickened by his Spirit? Am I quickened? Do you have evidence that you're quickened into life? God's made you alive spiritually so that you're not who you once were as you were born. It's important to consider this, because we were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But oh, as God quickened us into newness of life, regenerated us really, made us anew, given us a new heart. Oh, is this given to you to so know and have the experience of it? Can you look back and say, it was not the will of man my soul's new heavenly birth began? Oh, this is one thing is needful, to know you have life. To know you have spiritual life. To know you are spiritually alive. We're all in the death of nature as we're born. Has that wonderful miracle taken place in you and regarding you? Lord, having quickened you, quickened by the Spirit of God into newness of life, so that you are born of the Spirit. You know how the Lord spoke to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And at that, in that context there, of course Nicodemus asked the question and the Lord gave answers. But we find there's no more said. But then, when the Lord was crucified and given up the ghost on the cross and laid down his life, and there was need for his body to be removed from the cross, Nicodemus came. Oh, surely, truly, he's named as a secret disciple. Surely, truly, there was the work of the Spirit going on in him. So that in love, he had so been brought to that willingness to come out and make himself manifest as a true disciple of Christ and do. And with Joseph of Arimathea, they laid the body of Jesus in the sepulchre. Oh, is there evidence in you coming out in ways of your desire to live and do in thy way of thy being enabled by grace to follow your Lord and attend to the things for worship and praise and what the Lord has commanded, what he has so given in his holy ministry, his teachings, he's given the new commandments, that you love one another, and you follow him, you take up your cross and follow him. One thing is needful, and there's a sense in which this one thing encompasses so much of what God will so bring in the child of God's life and experience. Of course, in the sum and substance of it is knowing Jesus Christ and having him, knowing him as our Lord and Saviour, our dear Redeemer. But friends, one thing is, you see, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary was attending to want to be in attending to him in a way, not naturally, but spiritually, and the Holy Spirit was in her as she was there, and the Lord so clearly states it. Mary hath chosen that good. But what have you chosen? What does the grace of God cause you to choose? Does the grace of God cause you to choose to not keep his commandments? Certainly not. The grace of God will never do that, to not keep his commandments. Oh, and to not want to be at his feet, to not want to talk to him and commune with him. No, she wanted to commune with her Lord. He was so precious to her. The Holy Spirit's working on her, and now in the immediate presence of her Saviour, he's sitting at his feet. Oh, and one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. One of the hymns says, "Oh, for grace this choice to make," and that is, in that sense, it's upon the things of tribulation and trial, and being in the pilgrimage journey, which is hard and rugged for some poor pilgrim's feet. But oh, choosing, like Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. But it's all by the grace of God. And very much in the reality of it, the exercise of it is under the favour of being in the fear of the Lord. Friends, there are some questions you see you should ask yourself, and I should ask, and I should ask myself. For these things stated, they, as it were, bring up a question regarding many things. That one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her, because her choice is made by grace. It's the fear of the Lord in her. It's the grace of God in exercise in her. She wanted to be near Jesus, sitting at his feet. Notice, sitting at his feet. Not standing up boldly before him and kind of speaking, expressing some boast of her own thoughts and perhaps authority as one of the household. Sitting at his feet. She sat at his feet. It speaks it here in the way, in the context, I think, and we know in other places there's those that came to the feet and even wiped the feet of Christ with the hairs of their head, anointed his feet, anointed him with ointment. Another Mary, Mary Magdalene, and other Marys. There was those three Marys before the cross, standing before the cross. And the Lord spoke to them from the cross, spoke to his own mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Oh, here they were greatly under the effect, the profound wonder of the Son of God on the cross, suffering for sinners. I saw one hanging on a tree with agony and blood. He fixed his languid eyes on me while near the cross I stood. I never shall I forget that look. He seemed to charge me with his death. Have you had that? Though not a word he spoke. We have to be brought to that, to know he died that we might live. He suffered, bled and died in our place. He took our sins and bore them in his own body on the tree. Oh, here he is, so much more and more felt to be by the child of God who is brought to be lost in wonder, love and praise. How wonderful he is. I thought to read the fifth chapter in the Song of Solomon this morning as well, but then felt we read the whole chapter in Luke. You know, there in that blessed language in the song, he's altogether lovely. Oh, his mouth is most sweet. He's everything to the spouse. He will be to every child of God, everything to them. All over glorious is my Lord, you'll say, if you're blessed. You will. But let us come to this. One thing is needful. The blessing of the Lord. God to so bring us to know we need an indeed blessing. Sinners who need salvation will know they need an indeed blessing. They need to know and be assured of their interest in the Saviour's blood. Your prayer may be like the hymn writer, assure my conscience of your part in the Redeemer's blood, bear thy witness with my heart that I'm born of God. God does do this, friends. He does bless souls in these ways. He does bring them into and under the wonderful favours of his love to be there sitting at his feet. And so in the favour of it, to receive from his fullness, to partake of him, to feed upon him, to receive of him, oh, to eat his flesh and drink his blood by living faith. You know the theme of faith in the hymn we've sung, vain. If all our works exhibit death, how vain we are and how wrong we are. But under grace, God sanctifies his people, deals with them, teaches them, exercises them, humbles them, breaks their heart, breaks their schemes of earthly joy. They may seek their all in Christ, and Christ becomes exceedingly precious. He becomes their all and in all. He is so much in their hearts to desire to worship and praise and to fall and be at his feet and to be looking up to him and seeing him. And we know he's in heaven now, highly exalted and given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. I was thinking that all the things that we have are material things. Is the Lord dulling them, dampening them down? If God's working in you, he will do this. He'll bring you to even have an aching void the world can never fill. And Christ will be that one alone who can fill up that aching void that you have, you young ones. Is it like this? If God is making you concerned about your never-dying soul, causing you to be in concern, and you have to pray to the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me, Lord, save me. And you're anxious and concerned about yourself. You're anxious, of course, and concerned about many things. But the one thing, the one important thing, is your soul and your salvation. And is it that you pray to the Lord and you are favoured to gain his ear and he's given you some tokens of his love? He has favoured you in some ways, sweet tokens. You want more. He's sitting at his feet, he's being there low before your Lord and knowing the one thing is needful, that one thing is needful, he is needful. And you know it's this, seeking for what you need that will come to you, can only come to you through Jesus Christ. That God shall bless you with this. It's all dependent upon what he has done. He is the Saviour, the Redeemer. Oh, he has borne the curse and suffered unto death and brought in eternal salvation, full and complete redemption for the church. Oh, what he has done, you want to know that what he's done for you. What he did in his life in keeping the whole law of God and making it honourable on his people's behalf, you want to know. He has fulfilled the law for you, because another thing that is solemn to God's people under his God's teaching, is they have to learn and know they cannot keep the law of God. They cannot not sin. They cannot cease from sin. My grief, my burden, long has been because I could not cease from sin. And the seriousness of this fact, friends, because we know one sin is enough to, as it were, cause and bring our damnation forever and ever. And we are guilty of all, breaking all God's Ten Commandments. It brings us, God's teaching brings us to become absolutely helpless and hopeless. Paul the Apostle said when the commandment came, and it was so to him that he'd broken all God's Ten Commandments. When the commandment came, sin revived. He realised how He'd broken all the commandments of God. And I died. He died to all hope that he had before. You know who those Pharisees were. They had hope in their profession of religion. They had hope in the way of their practices. But everything of that had to go. And then convicted, convinced of his sin, he was then caused to fall before God and know that none but Jesus could do him any good. And oh, sin revived and I died. He says, I was alive without the law once. That's here we are in our unregenerate state. Alive naturally, but wonderful to be made spiritually alive. But in and under that favour of being alive spiritually, we shall have solemn understanding. And under the solemn teaching of God, we shall be brought to become mourners over our sins and after Christ. Christ will become very precious. That's what it was in the way I felt to read perhaps in Solomon's Song, chapter 5. Well, there are so many expressions there in the Song of Solomon of how precious Christ is. Let me ask you the question, each of you, and myself, of course, let us ask the important question, what it is to be a Christian, to be one blessed by faith, grant of faith, to believe in Christ. Christ made precious, made the one thing needful. Like as I was pondering last evening on that, I remember in the assembly at school, oh, Jesus, good above all other. And Newton's hymn, one there is above all other. Oh, is this so with you, friends? I mean, I would speak it in a way that God, if it be his will, pointedly apply it to you to consider, to question yourself. To say to yourself, am I really in this favour? That Jesus Christ is that one good above all other, the one thing needful, and one there is above all other. And do I know him? Do I know him? To know my Jesus crucified, by far excels all things beside. Are we really in this, friends? In the reality of it, by the Spirit's work and operation in us, God having dealt with us, taught us, God teaching us, God showing us these vital important things of our state and condition and our need. But one thing is needful. See, Martha was cumbered about much serving, troubled about many things, and that's naturally so. And it doesn't say she had not got the grace of God, because we know in another place it says Jesus loved Martha, Mary, Martha and Lazarus. One thing is, it's how we are in exercise regarding how we're living, and how we know we won't naturally take the people in our households all love the Lord and the Lord loves them. Remember, friends, we're all dead in sin by nature. Am I quickened by his Spirit will be a concern to every one of his people. And God will prove they are quickened by the life they have, the life of God within them, and the exercise of need they are given to have. And the great feeling need of mercy, pleading, begging the Lord for mercy. Mercy through blood, I make my plea, O God, be merciful to me. You feel that need to pray, beg of the Lord like that. And when the Lord does come and visits you with his salvation, makes himself known to you, you know he's the one thing needful. And you know you need him so much. And I believe the Spirit will lead such on in their pathway in his holy will and purpose for them. God will so go on to be gracious and teach and bless and make Christ so precious being a soul to say he's more precious, Father, than life and all its comforts are. And if he's brought you to feel that, oh, how he's gone before you, and you are following him, but oh, following him in the ways you should, are you? Oh, one thing is needful, and you feel it, to acknowledge him, to praise him, to bless him, praise him, honour and glorify him, to show forth his praises. Oh, not to stagnate, not to neglect God's great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, Mary showed how she loved him. And we know, as the other Mary, the Marys that are recorded in the Word, washing his feet and anointing him with the ointment, wiping his feet with the hairs of her head. And you know what it says, friends? The odour filled the hairs. Oh, the odour. That ointment filled the air, the house of God. We've known, as we know, been able to come forward, the Lord constraining them by his love. And when they testified, as you know, one of the church meetings I was favoured to take after the prayer meeting, and truly the odour filled the air when the dear people of God speak of what the Lord's done for them. Oh, how precious, how wonderful it is when it is so. It's the savour of Christ. It's, the sweet perfume of his sacrifice. His love. His love shed abroad in sinners' hearts. And the things of the wonders of redeeming love are much acknowledged when God's people testify what the Lord has done. What the Lord has done for my soul. I think of it back in that day when I was favoured to go before the church at Hope Stockpole. And then late J.S. Green to baptise me a few weeks later. You know, it was such a blessed thing to tell of the love of Christ. To testify it. No greater privilege really. And to enter into those things, closer following the Lord, and showing our love to him in return for his love to us. One thing is needful. Absolutely, Christ's holy blood shed at Calvary for your soul's salvation. All what Christ has done in his life and death for your redemption, and your, in the highest sense, your justification by faith. So you kept the whole law of God and went to Calvary, shed his holy blood, was laid in the tomb, and the third day rose again. He rose again for his people's justification, knowing our interest in his great salvation. The greatest favour anyone can know, so know this. And the greatest privilege as follow for the child of God to know and enter into as God grants it, leads them into it. Following Christ, living to his praise, acknowledging one to another among the people of God, one thing is needful. Oh, and how Mary had chosen that good part. She was in the favour of it, continuing in it. And oh, for us, friends, to come to his feet and feel that closeness of the favour of communion with him, fellowship with him. No, the favour that is stated, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, when we are blessed by the enabling grace to honour the Son, oh, we honour the Father too. And it's nothing of ours, of our merit or anything like that. It is all what the Saviour has done. And how God the Father accepts his people in his beloved Son. Oh, one thing is needful. It may be brought with some to be a point if they've been blessed and favoured. There was one in Wiltshire that the Lord gave me many years ago now. The Lord had so blessed and favoured her. She hadn't followed the Lord. But the day came in the Lord's house on the Lord's day when the word was applied to her. The thing you must do. They were the words. You'll find them in the word. The thing you must do. And the dear lady then had to follow her Lord. To her then it was one thing was needful. Because she'd been blessed and favoured. But now one thing was needful for obedience. She must follow her Lord. The Lord spoke those words. I know I was the instrument, but the Lord spoke the words to her. The thing ye must do. This was the one thing needful then. The husband wondered what was wrong with her. But after a long day on the Monday, in the evening, she told him, it's the thing I must do. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day, which were for Christian concern, amounted to £1,175, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pickett is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. John Hart next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 267. Children of the Heavenly King, as ye journey, sweetly sing, sing your Saviour's worthy praise, glorious in his works and ways. 267.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything there is seen amiss in our service. Do own and bless thy word, Lord. Do help us we may go on in the way following thee. Oh, give us grace, Lord, enabling us so to follow our Lord in the way that thou dost lead. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.